Well, something that we worked really well for us is to go back to basics and to run events where everyone is going online and say, you need to market your business online. I say, how about I market my business by speaking and creating my own events and by speaking on other people's stages and focus 90% of my effort there. Now, the reason why I think this strategy is brilliant, it is because there is nothing that converts more than your potential client meeting you, speaking on a stage, and meeting you in flesh and blood.
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Well, welcome back to Real Marketing Real Fast. Today I've got a guest from a different part of the world. I'd like to welcome Simone Vincenzi.
Vincenzi, yes, the second one.
Vincenzi. I asked you before and I still screwed it up. Well, he's known as the Purpose Strategist. He is a co-founder of GTX and is a TEDx speaker. He's the lead facilitator at Explode Your Coaching Business and author of 4 life-changing books. Fed up with the dirt and the personal development industry that no one talks about, he believes in changing the industry through the creation and supporting genuine community of coaches and speakers. He helps them do this by creating seminars that convert while delivering incredible value to the audience. During the past 4 years, he has transformed from working in the catering industry to building a 6-figure coaching practice and shares the tools with his clients that allow them to prosper from 0 to £100,000. Over the last 12 months, he has spoken in front of 3,000 individuals, which include sharing the stage with Les Brown, Trent Sheldon, and Doug Vermeeren. He has organized over 170 events, including Gary Vee speaking from the New York Hall boxing ring, and he currently speaks on more than 200 stages a year. Following his passion for making an impact in the younger generation, he also partners with the largest youth organizations in the UK, helping them to deliver more effective courses and training. Simone cannot live without 3 things: speaking, basketball, and playing his didgeridoo. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Doug. It's been great, and thank you for the introduction. Appreciate it.
Well, is there anything that I missed in the introduction that you'd like to add?
Yeah, there is something that needs to be updated, which I'm also a Forbes contributor. I'm a contributor for Forbes and the Huffington Post. Just that I managed to get into Forbes after a year. I had it on my radar last month. So that needs to be updated there.
Well, congratulations. That's a big feat. Good for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So as somebody that I've followed on social media for a while and I've watched what you're doing and what you've done, do you want to share a major breakthrough or success that you've had maybe with a specific client or a specific marketing tactic?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are a few things that, as we discussed before, is all about simplicity, right? I like to make things simple. I think that a lot of people now are running after these complex funnels, these complex business strategies, without you realizing actually that the more complex something is, the more resources, more money, more time it takes. So
right.
In everything I do and all the clients I work with, I go back to basics. It's like, what's the easiest way that we can monetize this product while delivering an incredible value to our clients? This is the basic principle. And I think that going and one of the strategies to use to understand the principle is going back to basics. Because, you know, when you start a business, you know that there are some products or services that you sell and your clients, they will naturally buy. And then what happens, the business grows, right? And the business grows, so you think that now you need to have a more complex business. Just because the business is bigger. And that's where all the complicated, convoluted funnels and strategies and tactics, they come in. But when my invitation to you that you're listening right now is say, okay, think about what were the things that actually your clients were buying that is really easy for them to buy. Is a piece of cake. You have a conversation with them and they say, yes, I'm in. What if you could just, not maybe just, but if you could focus 90% of your efforts there, wouldn't your life and your business be simpler? Question mark.
That makes sense.
Absolutely. So something that I found working really well for me is to go back to basics. Always go back to basics and finding what is the simplest strategy that I can use. And one of the strategies that I advise for people that love to be in front of people. Because, you know, Doug, not everyone has the same strength, right?
No, that's right.
There are some people that love being in front of people and other people that they would happily hide behind a laptop all day and not meet anyone, and they are completely happy. I am not one of them. I'm a people person. I love to be in front of people. I love to have this human contact. I love to... I'm Italian. I love to hug. That's how I am. And you know, something that we worked really well for us is to go back to basics and to run events where everyone is going online and say, you need to market your business online. I say, how about I market my business by speaking and creating my own events and by speaking on other people's stages and focus 90% of my effort there. Now, the reason why I think this strategy is brilliant, it is because there is nothing that converts more than your potential client meeting you, speaking on a stage, and meeting you in flesh and blood. I mean, you are there. They can see you.
Sure.
20 minutes on stage is equal hours and hours of videos watched about you online.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people buy from people they like and trust, and there's nothing that builds trust more than shaking somebody's hand, looking them in the eye, and having a conversation.
Absolutely. In particular, after you've already spoken on a stage. Because then you don't even have to sell yourself anymore. Your credibility is there. You already sold yourself. So then the conversations that you have with other people are, how can we work together? Or what's the next step? And that makes the process much easier. I mean, I remember I did the turning point for me was when I did a speaking gig. And, you know, after I started speaking, right? That's how I started. And then I went down the route of creating complex and weird and wonderful online funnels. And all the other things that made my business very complex. And then I said, back to basics. And I started speaking more again. And I remember that event. I had a 15-minute slot on stage. So very short. Nothing big, nothing special. From the back of that event, I made more than £20,000. I'm talking in pounds, so about $25,000. From inquiries of people that saw me at that event, and then they decided to work with me after 15 minutes. Now, I call it a very good ROI. A bloody awesome ROI.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the main strategy that I like to share. If you like speaking, if you like people, and if you like going on a stage, focus on that because there is nothing that will convert more than this strategy.
Well, I would also add and push back. I'd say whether you like it or not, if you want your business to grow and be more successful, go on stage anyhow. Just get over the not liking it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree with you. I want to see everyone on stage because whether you do it behind a camera, whether you're doing it in front of people, do it in front of people is easier.
So what's the biggest myth about this tactic? Why don't more people do this?
The reason why, that's a very good question, Doug. A lot of people don't do this because they generally start the speaking world by seeing big events or by attending big events. And I remember myself when I attended my first events, and I used to attend all the free events that you can possibly think and imagine because I had no money. I had £100 when I started. So I couldn't even pay for a freaking ticket. I had to go to all the free events, and I was always there, first row. And I was saying to myself, oh, one day I'm going to be like that guy. Oh, one day I'm going to be like that guy. One day I'm going to be like that guy. Every event. And they were using doing events with, you know, hundreds of people, thousands of people, with all the lights, the music, the dances on the stage, lunch for everyone. And I'm like, how can I put up something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, it will cost me about $25,000 or pounds just to create something like that. I don't even have £100 to my name. So I think that this switch that a lot of people need to understand and they need to make is that actually smaller events convert more than large events. And this is something that for people like, what? Really?
So when you say smaller, what do you mean by smaller? Give me a number.
5, 10 people, 15 people, 20 people. And the reason why these events are small events are great is because you can create such a level of relationship with your clients that you are not able to create on large events. Large events are all about the experience, right?
Okay.
When I run the event with Les Brown, 1,000 people, Gary Vaynerchuk, 500 people, is about the experience and the buzz created in the room. And they work incredibly well, but you cannot build the same level of intimacy with your clients like you would on a small event where you can actually talk to them, where you can give individual attention. So
yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, and also it will cost you less to book a room for 5 people that even if you want, you can invite even at your place and do it in your living room if you don't want to hire an hotel, if you have a nice place. And then you convert them as clients because you're building the relationship, you are able to understand them. And then the more money you have and the more money you make, then the more money you will have to invest in marketing and infrastructure. And yes, you can go to the bigger events, but always start small. I mean, we run more than, as you mentioned, the bio right now. From that, we run more than 250. So in the bio was 170. Now we have 250 events with our company. And it's just Pentex. And when we started, literally, we started with a few speakers. They were coming in. And the first room that we had was in an organic farm. It was called the straw bale room because literally it was made with straw bale. Now, there were pigs around. It smells of shit. It was the worst place to run an event, but we couldn't afford anything, so that's where we started. And the first event, we had the 2 speakers and 4 people in total, which 2 were the speakers. And one was my business partner's dad, and another one was the only attendee that actually came in, and we made sure we handcuffed him in the chair so he couldn't leave because he was the only member of the audience. But then we grew from there, and we kept consistent event after event, and it worked out.
So I hear you saying basically start with where you are and what you've got and build from there.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that, and maybe you made this mistake yourself, Doug. I definitely did. When you are starting a business, you're very naive. And I remember attending a lot of personal development seminars and say, I can make $1 million in a month. I never had a business before. I have no clients, but I can make $1 million in a month. Yeah. So there was all this hype.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, what they do, they start, like what I was doing, I started running before I could walk.
And that makes sense for sure. Yeah, I totally agree. And I agree with you because when I first started out, I was, you know, if you'd read my graduation bio, you know, I was going to be a millionaire by the time I was 20. And then reality sets in. And it's not that you can't do it, but, you know, I think Gary Vaynerchuk you've heard him speak as have I, says it's a long game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the long game. And there are some people that are able to make it in a short pace of time because they might have already a network, they might already have the business skills, the sales, the marketing skills that they need. When I started, I didn't have those. I was managing Michelin star restaurants. So that's what I was doing. I was having a very successful career in the catering industry. I was the youngest Michelin star restaurant manager in Europe at the age of 19. But then I had this brilliant idea at the age of 22, was that 7 years ago, to start my own business. And thinking that just because I could make some money in the restaurant business, I actually could make my own in my own business doing consulting.
Yeah.
And then again, as you said, reality kicked in. and I became homeless for about 6 months because I lost everything I had. So that was a good slap and made me realize that I made a step longer than my leg.
Well, I think there's two areas that people err in. One is that they think they're going to be an instant millionaire because they watch a lot of the stuff on social media, people standing in front of the Lambos and the Porsches and the Bugattis, and they don't own them. They're just standing in front of them. So you think, hey, if I do what he does, buy his course, I'll have that. If that's one side, is that your goal is not right. It's not in alignment to what's possible. And the other side is people also set goals that are too small.
Yeah.
So we got both sides. I mean, I've always focused on higher end clients because the line is shorter.
I like it.
There's less people going there. They're going, well, I couldn't go ask for that much money because that's an outrageous amount of money. So I'll go over here and I'll ask for a little amount of money. And there's more people in the little pool than there's the big pool.
I completely agree with you. Completely agree with you 100%.
So in terms of marketing, what you're doing now, I know when we chatted earlier, you said that your superpower is conversion. So do you want to explain what your secret to conversions is?
Oh, my secret to conversions. if I tell you, I will have to kill you. my secret to conversion, there is actually no secret. I mean, I decided to become really good at selling. Because that's the secret to conversion, really.
That's great. I love that. Because everyone's looking for the secret, right? 10 secrets to conversion. And you say, I just became really good at selling.
But what else do you need to do? I mean, you sell and you do a lot of consultations and you sell more and you sell more and you sell more and you review and you learn about selling. I think that there is a great book that I've read recently, which is called When Buyers Say No, which I absolutely love. When Buyers Say No. I don't remember the author, but When Buyers Say No, it was brilliant because it's a book that talks about not giving up during the sales conversation, right? And I think that marketing and sales are very similar. Now, with marketing, you can put a lot of, you can push out a lot. You can blast out a lot of information, but then... is all about, I think right now, the engagement that you create and how you do convert that engagement into paying clients.
Right, yeah. So
something that I do, for example, when I'm online and I'm putting a social media post, I see the people that are engaging and then they immediately receive a Facebook message. If it is on Facebook or if it's on LinkedIn, they receive a LinkedIn message. Because they engage with that content, it means something resonated with them. I'm not selling at that stage. I just want to find out from them what is they create that generated the interest? Why did they like that post? What is that they liked about it? And then that opened a conversation to see, okay, what do you need right now? Is there anything I can help you with? And that can
result. Yeah, that's great. I love that.
And you know, that's why I remember I have a client which I helped her to build a six-figure business in 8 months. Now, she was already in a great situation because even if she was starting from zero, because she already had a big audience. She already had more than 50,000 people following her on different platforms. And she was making no money. And I was like, I would pay for having an audience. Because it's not a dead audience. They were engaging. They were commenting. They loved her. Absolutely gone nut for her. And she was making, $500, $1,000 a month. It's like, are you crazy? And just by applying those strategies and engaging and having them in conversation and then converting them, from a consultation one-to-one, or if someone runs a webinar or a seminar, then from there you convert them into clients. Then she was able to start making literally within a few months, $10K a month.
That's great. That's a great story. I mean, I heard John Lee Dumas speak once and at an event, and I think the thing that I remembered most about his comment in terms of business was he says, do some stuff that's not scalable. And so I took that and applied that to social, like you said. And so we respond to every person who connects with us with a message. And the good news is for people thinking, oh, I couldn't do that, it's overwhelming. It's the 80-20 rule. Not everybody's going to respond back to you, so don't worry about it.
That's a very good point. That's true. And there's small things that you're saying, contacting them, or when someone joins my Facebook group, I send them a 15-second video message, personalized. It takes me time. Yes, it takes me time. But how many people send a personalized video message when someone joins a Facebook group?
Yeah, not very many.
Not very many.
Yeah, not many people even send a message, let alone anything else. I mean, I know on my LinkedIn, I have one of my VAs that manages my LinkedIn for me. And so we have a criteria for accepting new requests for people to connect, but everybody gets a message. And so we've changed up the message and we've said, you know, this isn't a sales pitch. I'm not going to sell you anything. I just want to know, why did you connect? And is there something I can help you with? And that's really increased the response rate. But I think people are surprised because they're waiting for the pitch.
Yes, immediately.
Oh, click. So why am I going to pitch you? I don't know anything about you. I don't know if I can help you.
Exactly, absolutely. Because, you know, sometimes you might be able even to connect them with someone else that you know in your network, or you might not be even the right fit for them, or you might be an ideal client for them. Who knows? So it opens up opportunities.
Well, I'll share my biggest pet peeve then. I connect with a lot of people on LinkedIn. And aside from the cold pitches of like, hey, check out my website, you'll really like what we do, I probably don't get more than one or two requests a month to actually get on the phone or connect with somebody at a deeper level where they want to see if they can help me. And for me, it's super frustrating because I use social media mainly as a shopping platform to identify suppliers and people that I can partner with.
Yeah. So here we go. Now, if you're listening to the show, you know how to pitch Doug.
You do. Just connect. Put the canned pitch away. Let's have a conversation. You know, I was talking to one person. I sent her a note back, and she went, "You're serious? You're going to talk to me? I can't believe you responded, and you sent me a link to you can book me." It's like, yeah, I said we'd connect. This is how we do it. So it's not a big deal.
Absolutely. I love that.
So what are you most excited about as it relates to marketing in the next 6 to 12 months? I mean, the world is changing at a super fast pace. Everybody seems to be talking about Bitcoin, but I'm sure there's a few other things happening in the world other than Bitcoin.
You know, probably I'm one of the few people that doesn't know anything about Bitcoin. Like, I invest all the money that I have in the different businesses that we have and the different sides of, because we have basically four sides of GTEX. We have a digital marketing agency where we do digital marketing, the events company where we manage events, where we teach people how to run events, which is a training platform. And also we work with recruitment agencies to train their sales staff. So when I have money, I invest it back in the business because I'm going to have a higher return anyway. But not talking about Bitcoin, which is a... I don't know why now everyone is a freaking Bitcoin expert, but everyone is a Bitcoin expert now. What am I really excited about for 2018? What am I for the next 6 months? In thinking the marketing world is, again, going back to basics, and the personal interaction is going to be more valued than anything else. Because in a world where everything is going towards automation, I mean, now you can even... Like you can get Facebook chatbots making toasts for you if you want. So everything is going towards automation, automate this, automate that. People are getting tired of it. So as always, I think one of the first rules of marketing is doing the opposite of what everyone else in your market does. And going and as you're doing, reaching out personally to people, inviting them to phone calls, inviting them to live events, invest time in other people in your team, hire other people in your team to have those conversations when you're at the stage to scale up. And you don't have to do them by yourself because, of course, you have other stuff to do as well. But that's, I think, where things are going. And personally, we are using automation. We are using it not hugely. No, we don't have complex automated things, but we make sure that our database is contacted regularly by real people. And we are finding that people are responding well because they say, wow, I didn't expect that.
Yeah, I think you're right. That sets you aside from everybody else in the industry that's going to try to do everything. And I think sometimes it's just, like you said, it's fear. People that won't speak on stage or people that want to talk to the customer, they're afraid of rejection. So they somehow think, hey, I'll just send an email. That's way easier than I don't feel the rejection. But the you know, I do a ton of email. But the reality is that it's not getting the response that picking up the phone or talking to somebody is.
Thank you. And exactly. Because also we are talking about conversion again. You know, when you're doing it, when you're having an automated email funnel or even chatbot funnel, chatbots now, we are using it, they are amazing because the open rate is 70, 80%, 40% click-through rate. It's like, whoa, this is awesome. So I'm making sure that every funnel I have, there is an element of email and chatbots integrated. But then you need to have numbers because you lose people along the way. And, sure, you know, and to have one sale online on an automated email from a cold funnel or a warmish, from a cold database or a warmish database, but even from a hot database, you know, you have a 0.001% of people in the database that will buy at the moment that you send that email. So if you have 100 people in your database, it means that you virtually make no sales.
Right, yeah.
So unless you have already a few thousands of people there, it might be it's much more difficult to make that sale. And in particular, if your list is not growing fast enough, because then you might, you know, do an offer a week. But if your list doesn't close by hundreds or thousands a week, then you're already out because you burn your database.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I like to use automation for qualifying, but when people show interest, like you said, then I like to have a conversation. I like to, wherever I can, intervene and get the automation off and have a conversation, because obviously there's a real person at the other end, they've responded.
Absolutely. And I mean, just by doing that, you can have a nice seven-figure business and you can hire other people that will make more phone calls, that will have this personal touch, and suddenly you are better than your competition. As long as your product is great, because then we are talking about conversion, but you have to have a great product and a great service.
Absolutely, yeah.
Otherwise, you're not going to last long.
Yeah, that's right. Limited sale, then you're done.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I'm excited about. And then the other thing I'm excited about is virtual reality and augmented reality, how that will be integrated in the market, more in the marketing space. I think there is going to be a lot of space for it. I know nothing about it. So I'm the least qualified to talk about the implication and use and so on. But I think I've experienced it, and there is definitely going to be a place for it.
Yeah, the marketplace is definitely shifting. And I think you're right. I had a guest on earlier, and we're talking about VR and VR and exactly the same thing. I mean, the consumer's expectation is a lot higher. And now with those tools, you're either going to use them and win some business, or you're just going to keep plugging along and someone else will come along and beat you out.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
So who's one guest that you think I should have on the podcast?
I wasn't expecting this question.
I know. It was a trick question.
That was a trick question. You know what? I'll see if I can make that introduction for you. I know I interviewed, I don't know if you have already interviewed him. It's Jeff Hoffman. He's a billionaire that I interviewed on my podcast, the Explode Your Coaching Biz Show. And it was a great interview on how to scale a business. It was brilliant. And of course, not everyone is a billionaire on this planet. I mean, there are many millionaires, but very few billionaires. So I listened to that guy very closely, and I loved every second of the interview. Great storyteller and very approachable person. So if you know him, or otherwise, I'm happy to make an introduction.
That'd be great if you make an introduction. And do you want to share the podcast episode so our listeners can tune into your podcast and find that?
Ask me other questions while I'm looking for it.
Okay, no worries. You send it to me. I'll get it up in the show notes. So let's ask something that you probably don't have to look up. What's the best place and the best way for people to find you?
Best place for people to find me, they are two places. One, if you are listening to this podcast, which I think was brilliant, I love the interview, then you probably like podcasts yourself. And I run a podcast called the Explode Your Coaching Biz Show. So it's Explode Your Coaching Biz Show. Let me repeat it one more time so you get it. Explode Your Coaching Biz Show. You can find it on iTunes, on Stitcher. And we interview other expert coaches, speakers, trainers that are running seven, six, seven-figure, eight-figure coaching businesses and speaking businesses, and ask them what business model do they use? What do they do behind the scene that works for them? And we go in very detail, in a lot of details in their practices. So if you like that kind of style of the interview, very conversational, but not much storytelling, is quite tactical. We go into business stuff.
Sure.
Then you will love the Explode Your Coaching Biz show. Or the other option is if you want to find as well, if you like a community, you like connecting with other experts and other people in this industry, then we have a Facebook group that, guess what it's called? The Explode Your Coaching Biz Facebook group. So you can find that on Facebook very easily. And then there is the last thing that I have for you, which is if you're interested in running seminars and or webinars and selling from the stage, so selling one to many, but doing that without being a douchebag, so without using all these lazy manipulative techniques, then I've created a checklist for you where it teaches you step by step how to create a pitch and how to position yourself, how to make the close. So that whole process doesn't feel awkward and you get clients, and you will find the link in the show notes here.
Excellent. Well, that's great advice. So there you go, listeners. We had a great interview. There's a lot of information there. I would encourage you to re-listen to this episode and take it to heart. Get out there and just get started. As usual, we'll have this interview transcribed. We'll have all the show notes. We'll have all of the links to all the resources that we talked about. So I just want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your day and sharing with our audience.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure. It was a fantastic interview, and thank you for your questions and for giving me this opportunity.
You're very welcome. So make sure you subscribe in iTunes. If you like this episode, leave us a review, and don't forget to sign up to our email list. So thanks very much, Simone. Have an awesome day.
Brilliant. Have a great day, too.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time, we look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.